Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans. The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Well, let's welcome in right now Greg Bedard. He is from the Boston Sports Journal. We're all reacting to the Patriots' regular season loss to the Jets today. Greg, what were your feelings when the clock struck zero watching Bill? What were your feelings? Just forget it as a reporter, just as a human. How did you feel watching him walk off the field today?
I guess in tribute to Bill, I didn't have a whole lot of feelings. I mean, I just think the whole day, you know, the weather, the lack of fans in the stands, some of them emptied out, you know, when the Jets, you know, it became apparent that the Jets were going to win the game. It couldn't have been more anticlimactic than it was. I would have liked to have used. I think if, say, the weather was fine, it was a somewhat close to full stadium, I think we might have had like a thank you, Bill chant or something. You know, in the waning moments of the game that maybe would have gotten an acknowledgement from him. But, you know, just watching him walk off the field and, you know, through the binoculars, watching him with Saleh and then Rodgers and then just, you know, going down the stairs. I guess my feeling was if this is the way it's going to end, this is a shame that it had to end this way. But I guess that's life.
Yeah, I think we were expecting more today. It was kind of Leroy and I's comments. Did you see anything during the game? Obviously there was the don't throw the snowballs on the scoreboard when the snow started to come down. But we were just expecting maybe a little bit more because there is a lot of unknown there. But did you see anything today? Were there any chants in the stands? You know, thank you, Bill. Anything like that you saw or heard?
I didn't see anything, nothing. It was business as usual, both with the game operations staff as far as the video board. Not that I watched the video board the entire game or anything like that, but I didn't see Bill on there at all. I did see before when the Jets were kicking off after their touchdown, they did linger on Matthew Slater for a very long time, but nothing for Bill.
Mm. Well, with that being said, I mean, tomorrow, Monday, supposedly a meeting is going to happen. Just in your opinion, because you've got half the people saying he's gone. The other half is saying, well, hold on, not so fast. What's your opinion? What do you think is going to happen after tomorrow's meeting?
I think that this could take a couple days. I think that they will have a normal discussion. I don't think the Krafts are going to go in there and just be like, Bill, it's time for us both to move on. I after so many years and what they've been through, I can't see that really happening. I think that they will have their sort of normal, you know, give and take. What did you think about the season? How did it get this bad? How far away do you think we are? Like that sort of thing. And I think Bill will have some answers, possible solutions that, you know, at least give the Krafts something to think about. And I think out of respect, they will say, okay, well, let's all take the night to sort of think about this. Let's reconvene the next day. I don't know whether the meeting will happen on Monday. A lot of people think, you know, it will, sometimes these things have a habit of getting pushed off. But I think that I would be mildly surprised. I wouldn't be shocked or anything if anything definitive happens tomorrow. But that would surprise me. I think this will be more of a revolving conversation about, you know, starting with the team, the season, where it is, where the team is going, what's Bill's intentions. Does he want to coach? Does he want to have ultimate power still? You know, would he, does he still want to coach here? Would he like to go someplace else? Would he be interested in a trade? I think it's going to be a complex discussion that goes over at least a few days, if not longer. But then again, I could just be completely naive about that.
Oh, sorry. How important, you said about him staying here. Do you think, how important is it to Bill to stay here as the coach of the New England Patriots? Or do you think he just wants to get the wins and go anywhere else?
I think, Leroy, I think a lot of it, you know, sort of depends on the attitude that Bill's getting from the crafts. Like, you know, if they're respectful and of the his accomplishments and things like that, you know, maybe he's, you know, he'd be okay with certainly staying here or being open to that. You know, if the crafts come in and they show something else, then I think this could get really adversarial where Bill's just like, well, fine, then fire me. I mean, my contract is what it is. If you're not happy, then go ahead and fire me. Everybody that I talk to thinks the chances of a trade, unless Bill sits out a year and goes to like television or something, which, you know, could be on the table, sort of like a recharge year, then I think that the chances of a trade are minimal. Bill's not going to, you know, he's not going to hold on for that. That is a very long process, especially considering the rules that are in place now with the NFL as far as hiring and who you have to interview and the timing of that and everything. Like it really can't start until the third week in January. So we're talking a couple weeks before the Patriots can even do the interviews that they need, and including, you know, other teams. If they wanted to interview Bill, if he's under contract, they can't interview him, though, I think, until the third week in January, like January 21st or 22nd. And so, you know, now you're talking about all that process. So I have a hard time seeing it being, you know, dragged on that long.
All right, we're talking with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, we do want to ask you about the Belichick press conference. We'll do that here on the other side. We'll pause real quick. This is the Safety Insurance, 98.5 The Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
In the snow here in Foxborough, and a 14-mile-per-hour wind in the face of Bailey Zappe as he squats under center with a single back. Harris behind it takes the snap of the play fake, dropping back, moving up, tossing one on the go. Stopped by Douglas, stutter step as he shakes and bakes in the open field. And he's dropped eventually. Got around Mosley, finished off by Quincy Williams, but not before he's got a first down catch and run for New England.
You know, other than the big play by Wilson down the boundary, Jets haven't done much on offense. Defense has settled down. This could be the drive of the game here for you offensively if you can find a way. Keep hitting these little ones here. Good job by Zappe in the pocket stepping up.
All right, back here in the Shaw's and Star Market Patriots postgame show. New England converted 6 first downs today. And with every first down, Credit Union Kids at Heart will help fund promising studies into Moya Moya as well as clinical care tools for children affected. Learn more at cukidsatheart.org. Leroy Irvin's here. I'm Joe Murray, and we're joined by Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, obviously the post-game interview with Bill Belichick, he sounded sick, which I think we knew from his Zoom meeting on Friday, but just started off saying he was disappointed in the season as a whole. But was he sick or was he just disappointed or both? It was very melancholy, the press conference.
Well, he's definitely sick. He was sick last time he talked to, I think, for his Friday press conference was supposed to be in person, but then it was on Zoom. He said basically to spare the media his germs, and he sounded really rough that day. So he is sick. I do think this has obviously been a tough season for him. But, you know, I also think there's, you know, he's a coach that's used to his teams performing at a certain level. And obviously this season was well below those standards, and it's been a long season. You know, there's been a lot of circumstances, both that self-inflicted, also, you know, injuries and things like that you can't account for. But I think he was, you know, sad, maybe a little bit embarrassed by, you know, this team finishing 4-13, which is the worst Patriots season since Dick McPherson's final year in 1992, when they went 2-14. He also tied the all-time losses record, both in the regular season and combined regular season and postseason today. So I think that plus, you know, the elements, I'm sure it was a very trying day for a 71-year-old man to be out there in the elements under the weather and everything all involved. So I just think it was just everything. I did think, as far as his post-game press conference, his comments, him acknowledging sort of heading off questions about his future and saying about how, you know, him and Robert would meet like they normally do and talk about the future. I found that interesting that he, you know, hit the nail on the head, I guess, or, you know, sort of hit it head on. I guess I shouldn't have been. You know, maybe that was a way just to deflect, you know, all those questions. And then he, you know, went straight Bill, you know, when he was pressed on the future and things like that. He just said, you know, disappointed season, that sort of thing. But it did make me think in my gut when I heard his opening comments about as far as the future meeting with Robert. My gut, I don't know. I just had a sort of an instinct of like, I don't know if he wants to be here. I wonder if he already has an exit plan. And, but that was just sort of I don't have any information on that. That was just sort of what I felt in the moment.
I asked Leroy this earlier, so I'll ask you as well. I feel like this is going to end ugly at some point, but do you think there's any way possible? You just mentioned it. Maybe he knew about it, or do you think at all this has been orchestrated? They've already kind of agreed that they're going to move on, and they're going to have that meeting like he said they always do. But is there any chance that this has already been orchestrated, or things will change in a meeting coming up on Monday or Tuesday?
Not together in any way, but maybe separately. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Bill. I mean, look, they don't work too far away from each other. There's a lot of people that sort of cross streams as far as the Kraft Group and the Patriots, you know, a little bit. So I'm sure Bill has some sort of inclination on where this is all going. And I'm sure, you know, both of those guys have sort of, you know, made some sort of decisions in their mind. And now it's just about them talking. And, you know, similar to Bill when he deals with a player. You know, we've said it, and I think we've even said it on here, that, you know, when Bill starts to imagine you gone as a player, then you're gone. It's just a matter of time. You know, does the same sort of thing hold when Bill says, you know, well, you know, if they're done with me, then I'm done with them. So, and I do know there have been teams sort of, you know, at least exploring Bill Belichick as their next head coach. Has that been back-channeled to him and so forth? You know, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't be the first time that he's done that. He did it around 2018 when there was the whole, you know, Brady sort of discourse about, you know, which way things were going to go. So I collectively, to answer your question, collectively, no, I don't think they've talked about it. I think, but both sides have obviously been thinking about it and are sort of had their viewpoint on where they're going with this.
Speaking of the Kraft, some fans are worried that Kraft won't have the balls to move on from Belichick. In your opinion, does Kraft struggle with separating the relationships he has with players, coaches, and whatnot from the business of football?
Well, that's why because that's why he hires Bill, who's, you know, the coldest cat in football. Like, you know, that's why Kraft hired him. So he doesn't have to deal with that. I mean, if it was up to Robert, I'm sure, you know, he would have kept a lot of people, yes, including, you know, Tom Brady. But, you know, as far as, you know, whether Kraft will have the fortitude to, you know, cut bait with Belichick, you know, Robert's a businessman. But, you know, here's the other thing that you have to wrestle with if you're Kraft in terms of what you're doing next. whatever happens, especially in the context of Tom Brady leaves the Patriots and he goes and wins another Super Bowl, if you move on from Bill and he gets a job right away and say he slides in on a team that does really well, if the Patriots are not good with whoever is the head coach, whatever the alignment is, next season, and Bill goes someplace else and does a good job, like, Kraft is going to get crucified for it. You know, it would be the second time that he made the wrong choice. So I think Kraft understands that. And, you know, really it's about like, all right, well, what puts us in the best position to win next year? Because I don't think Kraft can stomach another season like this. And I don't think the fans can. So to me, that opens the door to Bill returning with significant changes. Because, look, if you're going to, say, promote Jerod Mayo, who's never even called his own defense, to, you know, run the football team, and you're expecting, like, dramatic results, I think that's a tall task.
All right, he's Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. I'll have more with him coming up in just a bit. We'll take a look at the Sports Hub headlines as well. But first, let's pause 10 seconds for station ID here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Zappe with Elliott to his left takes the snap. A handoff to Zeke. And then a handoff on the reverse to Rager. Runs near side. Rager across the near sideline. And tackled just inside the Jets boundary by Carter. But that's a pickup of 18 yards for Jalen Rager.
It's a good call because you got 10 up. So you got man, single high safety. Good call by Billy O to get this drive going. And Zappe just does enough to get in front of Sauce Gardner. And it's a good job pulling off it because you get a guy called for a block in the back. But Rager has a nice run there.
All right, back here in the Shaw's and Star Market Patriots postgame show, the player that delivered the freight, presented by Freight Plus, the fastest growing private company in Massachusetts, providing fully customized Fortune 500 freight solutions to shippers throughout New England for over 35 years. Visit freightplus.io. That's freightplus.io. Leroy Irvin's here. I'm Joe Murray. We are joined by Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, just one more thing on Belichick I wanted to ask. When the game ended, he had that mask on. To be consistent, he did look like that all game long. We really couldn't see his eyes, but he did embrace with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if I saw him with Saleh by any means, but just thought that was interesting there. But it looked like he sought out Aaron Rodgers. Did you notice that? Did you have your eyes on Belichick? I already kind of asked you how you felt about it, but that whole hood situation, the hoodie, he literally was the hoodie after this game today, but embraced with Aaron Rodgers there. And just, I don't know, he went out of his way to kind of make a point to say something to Rodgers. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, and they talked pregame as well, sort of near midfield. So, you know, I watched Bill after the game, and he and Saleh had, you know, an embrace, you know, better than the dead fish handshake that he normally gives an AFC East coach that gets the better of him. And then he sort of, like, you know, turned around and was like looking, and then he found Rodgers and embraced him, and then just sort of, you know, walked off the field and down the stairs. No, you know, no wave or anything like that. So yeah, it was definitely a unique and Belichickian way to end it, if that was it.
Matthew Slater, there's a lot of pictures and stuff starting to show up online of players embracing him in the locker room. Obviously, the team wore hoodies in honor of him. Is it safe to say that Slater's career is over? And if so, what did his leadership mean to the guys in the locker room?
I mean, I think so, but I joked to him in the locker room when I shook his hand and said, you know, I know we did this last year, but, you know, if we have to do it again, that's fine with me. You know, but I mean, his leadership was just, you know, outstanding. People, you know, in general, and not even athletes, but people just in general, do not come better than Matthew Slater. I mean, he is everything that you think of him and more. And, you know, he's counseled a lot of players that have come in here. Some he's reached, some he hasn't reached. There's no question that this team, these players, these coaches, this region have been much better for it than after having Matthew Slater in their lives for so long.
You said there were some players he couldn't reach. Is that the norm, or has that been something that's been going on maybe within the past few seasons?
Yeah, that's the norm. I mean, you know, look, I've covered this league for a long time. You know, teams, players, leaders, captains have their best intentions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, certain guys are just made the way they are, and they aren't going to listen to certain people. You know, you get a lot more of those type of athletes now in sort of this age that have been growing up, and you're not going to be able to reach them. And certainly I would say there's more now, but that's not reflective on Slater or how the team is picking players. It's just, I think, to me, a sign of the times. Mm.
Is there a player on the team now that you can see becoming that kind of voice in the locker room if Slater is gone?
That's a great question. I mean, my hope, and I wrote this a few years ago when it looked like Slater was winding down, but of course he didn't. Actually, I talked to him about this, and it was sort of after Jack Easterby left as whatever his title was. I forget what it was here, but, you know, sort of part chaplain, part confidant, part sounding board for the locker room. And I asked Slater if a role like that would appeal to him. And he said very much so. Once his playing days are over. So my hope is, and I'm sure the Crafts will do everything in their power to, you know, keep him involved with the team. And I think that would be sort of a perfect role for him. And then, you know, you don't have to worry about missing his leadership. But there's so many things that are up in the air with this program right now. Those things, who's going to lead? As far as players, I think it's way down the list. They need to figure out where they're going as far as general manager and head coach and how to get this program back on track.
You think there's anybody else that could retire? I'll just bring up David Andrews. Pretty good career, was really out there, a team captain, doing it all. Do you think he's somebody that could call it quits?
I would be surprised about that. He said tonight that he still has some more left in the tank, and I would – wholeheartedly agree with that. I think he had an excellent season. Could have been his best season, especially considering what was going on around him with, you know, rookie guards and all sorts of people being hurt, and he plays every snap. I know, you know, some personnel executives felt like, at least entering the season or in this season, that he was sort of losing a step. I didn't see that on film. I mean, maybe he's not quite the same, but he's still pretty damn good. And to me, I see him continuing to play. If he was having any emotions, maybe he has seen the writing on the wall, considering they drafted three interior offensive linemen, including Jake Andrews, who is more of a center. He played guard today, but he is more of a center. Cole Strange is a possibility of being a center going forward. So I think he more – and Andrews would be, you know, at Andrews would be going into, I think it's the final year of his deal. I'm not sure if he's a free agent. I think he's going into the final year of his deal. And this would be a place where the Patriots might look to move on and get younger. So to me, any emotion that he showed today wasn't about the end of his playing days. It was more about the end of his Patriots playing days. Because I think considering the state of offensive line play around the league, I think David Andrews still has more than a few good years left in him.
All right, one more for you. Zeke Elliott needed to hit a certain amount of yards today, came up 19 yards short to hit an incentive of $300,000. The Pats made good on a Lawrence Guy move the other just the past couple of days. You think they'll just because he came up short, do you, or goes close enough, you think that's something that they'll honor, or he's not going to get that incentive?
Probably. I can't really say. I mean, you would hope that they would do that. I think he was a tremendous addition to this team. It's too bad they weren't good enough to really be able to realize that on the football field. But I thought that was it. Look, as far as personnel moves, that was one that Bill got right. Matt Groh got right over a lot of us who more preferred Dalvin Cook and, you know, perhaps, you know, putting a little bit more money to it. But Zeke was the much better player by far. He was tremendous and a professional throughout. Even when the season was lost, he didn't let up. and he was great in the locker room. So great fit here for the Patriots, and I would like to see him get that incentive, but we'll have to see what happens.
All right, so the season's over, 4-13. You just said something about personnel moves. When it comes to the offseason, free agency and whatnot, I know this might be a little bit too much to ask, but if you had to pitch to free agents why they should come to the Patriots next season, what would you tell them?
It's my pitch to every free agent. If you want free agents, I have a lot of green and I can stack it higher than anybody else. Okay. And we have a lot of cap space, and hopefully we'll get more creative with our salary cap management and how we construct contracts to get more of a bang for our buck. But yeah, that would be my pitch. I don't believe in these sentimental pitches. You know, you just got to stack the Benjamins.
All right. Well, speaking of Benjamins, we're going to pay Greg Bedard one last hurrah before we get out of here. I was trying to sum that all up in the money there. And it's just, I got nothing.
You almost did it.
Oh, I got nothing. It went under the total today, Greg, because, you know, and then the Pats didn't cover. So, you know, I thought they'd go out with a win for Bill Belichick today. And
so did I.
The Jets ended
up. They screwed us again.
They did it. The Jets broke the streak. But a couple of questions I do want to ask you, and then we'll look ahead. We'll play play what's ahead with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. We'll do that on the other side here. Leroy Irvin, I'm Joe Murray. This is the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
And now a second down and 26 from the 24. An empty set. The snap to Zappe, a three-man rush. He's pressured. He loads up. He throws the ball down the middle for Rager. Intercepted. Ashton Davis reading it all the way. Has the pick. Runs it to midfield. He weaves left. Ball is loose by Gesicki. And Venerian left for the Patriots had an opportunity to recover. Davis.
They got it back.
Could not wrestle it away. Lowe saves the day for the Patriots. Shake it up. After the fumble was forced on the return by Davis.
You can't be more
stupid. All he's
got to
do is hit the turf and not risk a fumble. And the Jets win the game.
And that shows a poorly coached player. You pick it off. You've got the game. You take the knee. It's sloppy conditions. And no, the ego of the player takes over. Now I got to become a one-man band. And he's looking the lateral to Sauce Gardner in the snow.
Gesicki reached in. As he was looking to lateral it. What a careless play. And Vidarian Lowe, to his credit, hustling the left tackle for the Patriots and diving after the loose ball.
Gesicki, man, made a play.
All right, back here in the Shaws and Star Market Patriots post-game show. Leroy Irvin's here. I'm Joe Murray. And NVIDIA Bank and Adrian Phillips, they've teamed up again for Be a Champion for a Child to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Metro West. New England's defense forced one turnover, so NVIDIA Bank donates $1,000 to help at-risk youth and donated $18,000 this season. So NVIDIA Bank, honest to goodness, member FDIC, member DIF, $18,000 from NVIDIA Bank. Our friends over there, great job this season. We're joined by Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, Mac Jones was the emergency quarterback today. Was this to potentially give Nathan Rourke a look? Or was he better in practice? What went behind that? And what do you think is the future of Mac Jones?
I heard Max told us that he is going to speak tomorrow during the sort of end of season locker room availability. I did hear him overhear him talking to another reporter sort of briefly, and he said something along the lines of, it sort of is what it is, and that he didn't get many reps this week. I think to me it was about just you know, making sure he's healthy for a possible trade at some point. Sort of pointless to throw him into a game like that, and so that's sort of my opinion on that.
Obviously, Belichick is a part of that tomorrow morning, too. I know it's the norm to have these after the season, but do you expect anything different from Belichick tomorrow morning?
No, I think it'll be similar to sort of other seasons where they've come up short. I would be surprised if he just says, you know, I've decided to retire, or I've decided to that this was my final season coaching the Patriots. I'm still open to coaching elsewhere, but you know, as of right now, I am retiring as New England Patriots coach. I would be completely shocked if something like that happens. I think it'll be similar. He'll, you know, talk about, I'm sure there'll be some excuse making and things like that. He might be giving his press conference for a party of two, as in Robert and Jonathan Kraft. But outside of that, I think it'll be similar to other losing seasons when he's talked after.
Just one more follow-up on Mac Jones. There was a report today that the Jets are going to try to trade Zach Wilson. Is Mac Jones more of an asset as a part of the Patriots next year, or just an asset of maybe moving on so he can try to get a, you know, go somewhere else?
It's a good question. I mean, I just think, look, it wasn't a successful run here for a variety of reasons. I still think Mac Jones is a good quarterback, capable of being a good starting quarterback in this league in the right situation on the right team. This team is not going to be that probably for a while. And, you know, he's the team that he would go to would still have contract control for a year. I would like to see him traded as soon as possible, just to sort of move on from that. It probably won't happen until the draft or even during the draft. But, with a lot of these questions, we're going to have to see who's making the decisions. And what do they think about Mac Jones? Is it Bill Belichick? Is it, you know, somebody else? Is it Elliot Wolf? Is it somebody from the outside? Is it Mike Vrabel? Is it Gerard Mayo? We'll have to see.
Hey, real quick, when it comes to Mac Jones, are you hearing anything from hearing anything with other teams? Are they looking at Mac Jones as someone that they could work with, or is he perceived as a broken quarterback like the way we look at him here?
From my conversations over the course of the season, the opinion of him has been, you know, pretty good outside of New England, and they think he's a good quarterback. They think that he did a really nice job as a rookie, and then the Patriots kind of screwed him up. So, I mean, but I wouldn't say that there's a general consensus on that. Teams will get to the end of the season. They'll evaluate their teams. Then they'll start looking into, you know, free agents and who possibly might be available in the trade. Then they'll make evaluations. But, look, there's no question he's a depressed asset at this point. And you're hoping that what you're hoping for in dealing a Mac Jones is you find a team that really liked him coming out of college. And they will look at his rookie season and then look at dysfunction in New England the last 2 years as the reasons for his struggles, and that – in that if he comes into their program, he will be much more successful. I mean, you know, I think San Francisco is the ideal spot for him. We know that Kyle Shanahan was really high on him coming out of the draft, entertained drafting him second overall in that draft. And Sam Darnold was on a one-year deal. He will be gone. To me, he would be the perfect guy to back up Brock Purdy, and, you know, who knows when he might get an opportunity down the road to start games if Purdy gets injured.
All right, Greg, well, what are the chances Bill Belichick stays in New England? There's a few reports out there that may be the case, but what would you put a percentage on it? What would be your percentage?
I would say that Bill Belichick being the head coach, I think I increased my odds. Earlier in the week, I was 10 to 20%. The more people I talked to, I upped it to 33%. That's about where I am. It might have dipped today, but I try to, you know, just like in evaluating teams and football players, I try not to look at, you know, one game. And I don't think this was indicative of the coach that Bill is. I don't think the situation is quite as dire as some people make it out to be. It really, to me, if I'm the Crafts, it really depends on what my alternative is. If the alternative is Elliot Wolf, the GM, and Gerard Mayo's the head coach, I don't know. I'm not really interested in that. Like, but if you can go get a Mike Vrabel and, you know, sort of follow his cue for staffing the coaching staff and the front office, that's more something I could get behind.
All right, real quick, the Patriots season is obviously over. I'm just curious, who are you looking at to make the Super Bowl?
The 49ers and who would it be in the AFC? He caught me off guard. So, the Ravens. Yeah, I mean, part of me thinks that the Ravens are going to choke again, probably in the first round at home. John Harbaugh has a tendency to get tighter than Sean McDermott, which is saying a lot in these big games, and does things stupidly, like going for all those fourth downs a few years ago. But I would have to say San Francisco and the Ravens right now are by far the favorites to me.
Okay.
All right, Greg, you got to watch the tape from today's game?
I have to. I have to finish. I got to finish strong. You know, just like Bill Belichick, I got to do my TPS reports. I got to grade out all the film, and then we'll start doing season review stuff, grading all the players, who should be back, who shouldn't be back, rating all the units to see how far they fell this year compared to other years. So, all sorts of good stuff. I can't wait to dig into that film.
All right, so I know you'll be on with Felger and Maz on Tuesday, and you guys will continue. This should be a very interesting offseason for the Boston Sports Journal with the draft, with the next coach, potentially GM. It's going to be a great offseason, one of the most exciting off seasons for the Patriots, and you guys do a great job over at the Boston Sports Journal, and we appreciate you joining us every week post-game here on the flagship of the New England Patriots.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
He's Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Check out all his work. And he's got an article up there I was reading a little while ago about the, thinking about the future. Bill Belichick. That's what everybody wants to talk about at this point.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans. The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.